Welcome back to the Dynasty FFT podcast, where we give you our thoughts on how to win and dominate your Dynasty leagues. Please check us out on our other streaming platforms, which are YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor, all at Dynasty FFT. Also check us out on our social media accounts, which are Instagram and Twitter at Dynasty FFT as well. So we'll just get right into it. We're going to go ahead and start with Elijah Mitchell today. So Elijah Mitchell obviously was a sixth-round pick by the San Francisco 49ers in the 2021 NFL draft. And this year, he was the 25th overall running back for half PPR. And at the combine, he ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. When you watch him, you'll notice he runs hard, stuff like that. So some pros and cons about him for dynasty-related is he's 23. So he's going to be 24 by the end of the start next season. So he's really young, obviously. Good production as a rookie, almost 1,000 yards. He was 936 yards as a rookie, 4.7 yards per carry throughout the season, 18.8 carries per game, which is really good. That shows your the workloads there. And Raheem Mostert's contract is up. So if they don't bring anybody else in, he's that starting back. That's his to keep, you know. So some cons are he has practically no usage in the receiving game. He gets 20. He had 20 targets through the 17 games that he played, which isn't great. And he also had late draft capital, which does take into effect a little bit. Obviously, he's shown a lot of promise this year, but that does take into effect a little bit. And there might also well be a quarterback change for next season. There might be Trey Lance there instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. But we never truly know that, so we can predict. And I think Trey Lance will be the starter next year, but we never truly know. So do you guys want to jump into it real quick? Or
I'll jump in. One quick correction is that Mitchell only played 11 games this year. He was hurt for 6 of them. But still, 20 targets in 11 games is not great either. I think Mitchell surprised me a lot this year. I know it's, very basic to call him this year's James Robinson as a sleeper RB that took advantage of their opportunity, but he's completely exceeded his expectations. I know some people were designating him as a sleeper during the offseason. I saw that a lot on Reddit because some people weren't sold on Trey Sermon, and Elijah Mitchell got they drafted two running backs, similar to Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams a couple of years ago. So people thought that he was going to, he had the opportunity to blossom, and he definitely showed it this year. 4.65 yards per carry is pretty good. That's something that's a very, big positive. Almost got 1,000 yards rushing in 11 games, also very good. Kyle Shanahan clearly has confidence in this guy. He has from day one. Week one, he had over 100 yards. So I think he's a very good, solid piece. Another concern about him is that he doesn't have insane draft capital. So I know James Robinson was undrafted, but a similar thing could happen where they just bring in a running back. Like Nick said last week, running back's the most replaceable position in the whole league. San Francisco could easily bring in a second running back, whether that's through free agency or the draft, and they could eat into Elijah Mitchell's workload. I personally think that he should be the starter next year. That's something that I didn't believe in the beginning, throughout the season, but he's definitely grown on me a lot. He's RB20 in my rankings, right behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I'm a big fan of as well. So I think Elijah Mitchell is a very good piece in Dynasty, and he's someone to buy into.
I would agree with you, Hamza. I think that Elijah Mitchell, if you can get him for cheaper, because not a lot of people really know how to value him right now, per se, because of the Kyle Shanahan offense. He really likes to run committees with two running backs, three running backs. But Elijah Mitchell, reaching 1,000 yards in 11 games is very, very insane, actually, for a rookie, especially a sixth round rookie. And they drafted two running backs in that draft, and Trey Sermon, he just completely outbeat Trey Sermon. And they drafted him third or fourth round. And to do that, coming out of the sixth round is just, it shows me that he's got a lot of promise. And he only missed some of his games. I mean, only like two games from like a leg injury or hamstring, I think it was. And the rest were just from a concussion. And I think he runs hard. He's fast. Next year, I think he could probably play the whole season. It really depends if Garoppolo's playing or Trey Lance, because that a little bit of that rushing side could go away. But I think he should be a 1,000-yard guy next year. Jason, you want to talk about some of the trades that you proposed for Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah, so, I mean, Nick kind of hinted at it. I have Elijah Mitchell on my Dynasty team. And I've gotten some trades from all over the place, but I'm just going to give you guys just a few of them. So you guys can just get a glimpse of what I've been proposed. So you guys can either, if you have Elijah Mitchell in your league, you can relate it to those trades that you've maybe received, or if you're trying to go after him, you can know what trades I've gotten and what the outcome of those trades were. So we'll start it off. So Nick was actually the one that proposed this one to me. So I would have been sending him Elijah Mitchell and a 2022 second rounder, which ended up being 210 for Kadarius Toney. So this was, bear in mind, this was at the beginning of the season, right when he took over. So it was kind of like that, like risk reward buy low type thing. So I ended up rejecting that. That was pretty quick for me to reject too. I wasn't really thinking too hard about that one. And then the next one that I'm going to tell you guys is, it was a three team trade. So I'll tell you this, my side of it that I was going to get, and then I'll tell you the entire trade as well. So my side of it was, I was going to be giving up Elijah Mitchell, a 2022 first rounder, which ended up being 109, a 2022 second rounder, which was 209, and a 2023 first, which obviously we don't know about yet, for Kyle Pitts. So I was very happy about that. I was going to accept that. And then the part that the person getting Elijah Mitchell, his part of the trade would have been, he would have been getting DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, Elijah Mitchell, the 2022 first rounder, which is 109, 2022 second rounder, which is 209, and a 2023 first for Kyle Pitts and Cooper Kupp. So that guy was obviously, he's a rebuilding team, and he was trying to get rid of the number one receiver and Kyle Pitts at the same time to get a lot more assets to build around. But yeah, those are just two of the trades that I've received this year. I have him in Dynasty, as I said, and I have him as wide or running back 17 in my rankings. So I know that's a little higher than what Humza said, but just to give you guys a gist on what I've been offered in our league. So
just to ask you, I want to know what you guys think, but assuming Trey Lance does take over next year, how do you, I know Nick said that it probably hurts his rushing upside a little bit, but I kind of think it would help his rushing upside. I feel like the whole rushing game would become so much more dynamic if Trey Lance is there instead of Garoppolo, because they have to focus on two rushers, at least three if Debo's in there too. So I'm just curious what you guys think on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to help a lot too, because like we look at, I mean, I know Trey Lance isn't Lamar Jackson, but if we look at Baltimore, you can't just leave Lamar Jackson and let J.K. Dobbins like just focus on him. So there's going to be attention to Trey Lance. And I just think it's going to open up more because Elijah Mitchell will have less people to deal with. So I think it's going to help him a lot, which is why I've kept him this whole year and why I'm looking to keep him unless I get a good offer for him. But excited for the future is what I should be saying. So I think it'll help him a lot.
What I think is Trey Lance is definitely not a Lamar Jackson, but I think the rushing tech will improve. It really depends on Trey Lance if he can actually throw the ball. We've seen too small of a sample size, in my opinion, this year for Trey Lance. And I'm excited to see him next year, but that's only if the 49ers switch to him. But if he can't pass, I think the rushing game's just not going to be that good. It really just depends if he can pass, because then that'll open up the entire game and his rushing attack, and Elijah Mitchell will be a lot more effective. They have a great offensive line, so either way, their rushing attack should be good. But, yeah, that's what I think about the situation.
I do just want to throw it in there. So I found a cool thing on Twitter when I was scrolling through. If Deebo Samuel, his rushing efficiency numbers, if they were if you took those numbers and put them to Jonathan Taylor's workload, he would have finished with 2,102 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 111 broken tackles. So, I mean, just to throw that on there, they have to worry about Trey Lance, Elijah Mitchell, and Deebo Samuel, clearly. For just to add on to what Hamza was saying, I know he was talking about all three of them as well, but just wanted to throw that stat in there. I thought it was insane. So,
all right, moving on from Elijah Mitchell. Let's talk about my boy, Darren Waller. Pros had 93 targets through 11 games. He's been the third and second best tight end in yards per game. This year he finished 17th best tight end, but only played 11 games. Khan turns, he's 29 already, turns 30 after the season starts, a few days after the season starts. Only had 2 TDs through 11 games played this year. And I just really, I don't think you need to worry about Waller. I think he just had a down season. I think it was kind of hard with injuries this year coming back. He's still a top 5 tight end, maybe even top 3. Maybe not with Mark Andrews having the year like he did, top 4. But I would recommend holding Waller, because I think he still has enormous value. And funny enough, I was watching a video about players that you should build around in your team. And for the Raiders still, the guy selected Darren Waller to build around in his team, because Darren Waller's size, his speed, his catching ability. There's just a few tight ends that can do that in the league, in my opinion. And I think Waller still has really high value. I don't see myself selling him for any sort of discount to anyone. That's kind of my opinion about Waller. Anyone else want to jump in?
I'll jump in. I like Darren Waller a lot too. This season made me a little more wary than I have been like before this season. I know mid-season Nick and I did a trade, and I was trying to get a tight end. He had both George Kittle and Waller at the time, and I wanted Waller, but I valued both of them pretty similar. And Nick said that he wanted to keep Waller just because it makes sense. It made sense at the time, because Waller is just such a dominant. He's such a dominant part of that offense when he is healthy. I know this year was a bit of a down year, but I do expect touchdowns to have a regression to the mean. He only had 2 touchdowns all year. I do expect that to go up next year. He's still so heavily targeted. He averages almost 9 targets a game this year in this down year. He had around 9 targets a game last year too. So the amount of times he's being targeted has been like he's maintained that from last year and this year. I don't expect that to go down. I think injuries are such a big factor this year as to why he didn't perform as well as last year. I know he wasn't as efficient either, but I do expect him to have a much better season next year. I have him as tight end 6 in my rankings. That might be a little lower than where most people have him, But I do expect Darren Waller to have a much better season than he did this year, next year.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of building off that, I have Darren Waller at six as well, so I'm not different than you, Hamza. The thing that worries me is I'm not selling him if I have him. I'm not buying him if I don't have him. If I have him, I'm going to hold, but I'm not going out there and buying him unless it's a situation where it's tight end premium like we're in and you don't have one of those top tight ends. So I have Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson, so I'm not going out to buy Darren Waller. But if you don't have, if you're in tight end premium and you don't have one of those top tight ends, I could understand why you would go after him. But yeah, the thing that scares me is, I mean, Hamza said that he only had two touchdowns through the entire season this year. But he's only had 14 touchdowns through the last four seasons, which is an average of 3.5 per season. So even though it was a down year in the touchdowns, I don't see it going up too much. He's an absolute monster. He gets a ton of receptions, ton of targets, ton of yards, all that stuff. But he's never been a crazy touchdown dependent guy. So that's just something that scares me because I like seeing those touchdowns in there. But I mean, yeah, I'm not selling him, but I'm not going to buy him either if I have one of those top tight ends. If I have a top in my rankings, if I have a top 8 or 9, I feel like those are serviceable enough to stay where I'm at, like where Waller's not that much of an upgrade between the 7, 8, and 9 range. But yeah, I'm not going out to buy him, but I definitely hold him if you do have him and you're still competing. He can clearly help you win some championships. So that's where I'm at.
My another thing that I just thought of, I think the Raiders should get one more wide receiver because I was watching the playoff game. And all they were doing is double teaming Renfrow and double teaming Waller. And the Raiders really couldn't do anything because they have no other guys that can really step up and prove themselves as like fantasy relevant, in my opinion, or just put up yards to help them move the ball. Those are their literally only two go-to guys. They just need one more guy. And do you want me to talk about some of the trades that I was getting for Waller?
Yeah, go ahead.
What Nico sent me, what was it? I think Kyle Pitts, Waller, and Michael Pittman. So I felt like it was a fair trade, but I really just don't want to give up Michael Pittman too in that trade. I traded away Justin Jefferson, so I don't really want to trade away another young wide receiver that has promise. Maybe if he put in like Amari Cooper or like OBJ in that trade, I would have definitely done that for Kyle Pitts. This guy that I was trading with who had Kyle Pitts is a rebuilder. And he just really did not need any of the older wide receivers that I had. And yeah, that's pretty much the only trade that I've gotten on Waller so far.
So Hamza, do you want to go ahead and kick it off with our buy low candidates?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to list a buy low and then we're also going to list a sell high. I think we're just going to go down the list of buy lows first, and we're going to go down the list of sell highs to end the episode. My buy low is Antonio Gibson. His value on keep trade cut keeps fluctuating. It keeps going up and down. Right now he's at RB9. I don't see that as his market value though. In my personal rankings, I have him as RB8, which I believe is high, compared to most people. I feel like I have Antonio Gibson on my team and I feel like I would not get anywhere near RB9 value where keep trade cut is like having him ranked, but I do believe he deserves to be valued that highly. He played through a fractured shin bone like most of the season, which is like probably not the easiest injury to play through. Still averaged over 4 yards a carry, which is very solid playing through like a partially broken shin bone. He also played through a bone bruise in his shin, a turf toe injury, a hip injury, Like, he was hurt all year just playing through these injuries and still being pretty efficient. I know he was ceding some of the receiving work to J.D. McKissic, which is a valid concern, but he still got a decent amount of receiving work. So that's not something I'm very worried about, especially if Washington decides to move on from McKissic. I think Antonio Gibson will absorb all that, at least most of the the backfield receiving work. The fact that he was usable this year and still, like, at times a strong running back to play was very promising, just because he had all those injuries. And Washington, their offense is nothing to be excited about. Even Terry McLaurin, like, severely underperformed this year. And he's someone that people are very high on still. So based on how he's performed this year and how he performed his rookie year, when he was still learning to play running back, I think people are forgetting that he played receiver in college and got transformed into a running back in the NFL because Ron Rivera saw traits like similar to McCaffrey when he was in Carolina. So he's still learning the position. He's shown nothing but positives, in my opinion. And I think I fully expect him to go up in value.
You want me to talk about my buy low now, Jason?
Before you do that, do you want to go ahead and say whether you'd buy him as well, for like going off of what Hamza said? Do you just want to go and say if you'd buy them for that price?
I don't know if I would entirely call Antonio Gibson. I mean, everybody ranks Antonio Gibson high and low. He was supposed to be, like, ranked, like, super high. Everybody was drafting him in, like, the second round is what I saw this year. And I think just people just got really disappointed in the way he played this year. But he's hurt most of the year. So I would definitely go take a look at buying him low, because I think people don't value him as high as he should be valued. I think a lot of people value him maybe like in the RB20s per se. That's my opinion about him. If you can get a good offer for him, just go out and get him if you can get him cheap.
For me, I would say I'm not buying him low, just because I have him as running back 12. Probably going to move him down a few spots, knowing who's behind him, just because I need to update him a little bit. But I'm not the biggest fan on Antonio Gibson, so I'm probably just going to stay away from him until there's some changes in Washington. Once they get a quarterback and another receiver in there, that might change things. But as of right now, I'm going to stay away from him as well. So,
next, we're talking about the main man. Jerry Jeudy. I think he's a buy low right now. He's pretty much only a buy low right now because of his quarterback situation. This buy low is a completely boom or bust buy low, in my opinion, which is factual. I think everybody can agree with that. He had a down year because he was hurt most of the year. He was out 7 games with a high ankle sprain, which is slightly concerning because ankle sprains are not really good for a guy that has a really good route running and has to make those sharp cuts. But that's where his potential is in Jerry Jeudy, is his route running. And the Broncos are looking to upgrade at their quarterback. So if you're a contender, I would maybe go and get this guy. Just try to stash him on your bench. Or just, if you're rebuilding, go try and get him to stash him on your bench. I don't think he will produce right away unless they get one of the top quarterbacks in Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson to really maximize his yards and touches. They cleaned their house. They got rid of their Vic Fangio. He should get another job somewhere. He's a really good DC. But off that topic. Hopefully they hire an offensive coach. I'm really hoping they hire Kellen Moore off of the Cowboys. I think that'd be the great fit for Broncos with their wide receivers. I think they're slightly worse, but they have a lot of weapons than the Dallas Cowboys. And PFF ranks them as the 51 wide receiver. Keepcut ranks them as like the 23rd wide receiver, which I think that's pretty high for him. I think he's only ranked that high because he's young and he's still got potential. And I rank him as my wide receiver 19 right now.
I can step in. Is that what you had to say, Nick?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I have him at 19 too in my rankings. I agree with the stuff Nick said. He is a very boom bust player right now. He like severely underperformed, but also just Denver's QB severely underperformed too. I think we expected a little more from Teddy this year, and I do expect him to have a new quarterback next year. And as long as they can get a quarterback that is competent enough to throw him the ball, like where he's running, I mean, he's always open. Jerry Jeudy is always open. He looks like Deontay Johnson out there. How he's just always open. So it's not a problem of like Jerry Jeudy's talent is not the problem. He's very talented. It's his situation that's like driving his price down. And I do think I agree with Nick. I do think he's a good buy low. I think his people are so turned off by his situation that it is driving down his price.
And yeah, I mean, I think Jerry Jeudy's a good buy low as well. But as Nick said, I think it's a really big risk reward type thing. Just simply because if they get somebody like Rodgers in there, it can be game changing for Jerry Jeudy. But the one thing that scares me about Jerry Jeudy is, I mean, Nick said the ankle sprain, that doesn't help anything. But the thing that scares me is that they have Javonte Williams in the backfield, but then they have Courtland Sutton on the other side of Jerry Jeudy, and they also have Noah Fant at the tight end. Those just scare me because I know Rodgers, when he comes, he throws for 275 yards, but it's 275 like good yards too. Like, he's smart with the football. He's a good game manager and everything. So if like Rodgers comes, I don't know if there's enough to go around to all three of those guys. So I think it's, as Nick said, I think it's going to be a risk reward type thing where he might be a little inconsistent, where he might be having those games where he has like seven receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown. But then he might have those games where he has two receptions for 35 yards and no touchdowns. Like, he might I'm just scared if the ball is going to be able to get to all three of those mouths. But yeah, I'm buying low if I can, but I mean, I know Nick has him higher than me. I have him 21st in my rankings. So I'm letting Nick have him for right now, but, or I'm sorry, Nick dealt him. So, or I dealt him actually, but yeah, I'm just staying away from him for now, but he is a high risk, high reward buy low. So I agree with Nick for that one.
I don't think he'll have any issue with targets. I think having more people around him will actually better him off. I don't think I actually liked him better out of college than Jalen Waddle, if that tells you how much potential he has. But yeah, I would just say go and get him. Courtland Sutton is really good. I don't really think Noah Fant's really that good anymore. I've watched a lot of Broncos games this year. He's supposed to be that vertical threat, like the Evan Ingram or just like that. And it hasn't really worked out for him. And I think he'll get plenty of targets. And same with Courtland Sutton. They got a good 1-2 punch that they, enough people out there that they just can't double team. So I think he'll always be open, like Humza said.
Yeah, I'm not worried about if he'll get enough targets or not. That's not, like, I know that's something people always brought up when this Denver offense started looking more promising, but I always think that's kind of a weak argument to like drive someone's price down, because look at like Dallas or look at the Vikings. I mean, there's so many offenses that have so many mouths to feed, even like the Chargers. like Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Ekeler all eight this year. Like all the teams, like I said, like their players did well this year, and it's not a problem of it's just not a problem of like not having enough targets, but having good competition, like good other like receivers next to you and other weapons on your offense. If anything, like what Nick says, that drives attention away from you and that frees things up, and Jerry Jeudy will get one-on-ones and he'll just beat people. He just needs someone to throw him the ball. That's really the only problem with him. That's the only problem with him. He's the best receiver on that team, in my opinion. I think he's much better than Sutton. He's much better at getting open. As long as someone can throw it in his vicinity, he'll be open. He can adjust and get to it. So it is frustrating because I agree. I like Jerry Jeudy a lot coming out of college. I liked him more than Waddle. I liked him more than CD, actually, too. I thought he was the best receiver in his class when he came out. But his situation is a huge turnoff. But yeah, I really hope that Denver gets a new quarterback just for his sake, because it's like his talent's being wasted right now.
One more thing, Jason, if you're looking at targets, Jerry Jeudy out targeted Courtland Sutton in all the games in the last 10 games after he came back from injury. If that tells you anything about Courtland Sutton, Courtland Sutton got limited targets, if anything. But he's my buy low. I would go get him. It's a really high risk, high reward kind of situation. But I would keep a close eye on the quarterback situation before you really go out and get him. It's all I need to say about Jerry Jeudy.
I think it's worth getting him before the quarterback situation changes, because I think that's the cheapest you'll get him. I think if you wait until a quarterback thing happens, then his price will be way too high. People realize that, like, he's too talented to not thrive with a new quarterback. So I'm advocating for what Nick said. I think you should get him now, actually.
I agree. So next, we'll go ahead and switch to my buy low. So my buy low is Harrison Bryant. So when I was thinking of a buy low, I'm thinking of the person that's going to help, like, have a change in value for the good, obviously. And I think Harrison Bryant is severely undervalued for what I think he can accomplish in the next year or two. So Harrison Bryant currently is the third tight end on the Cleveland Browns depth chart. And I know Cleveland Browns does not surprise or does not make a lot of people very excited right now. But David Njoku's contract is up after this year, and I don't see them bringing him back in nearly any case. And going off of that, Austin Hooper is the number one tight end on that roster, and they have an option out with him. And I mean, I'll go over something in a second, but I really think that they're going to take that option and like let Austin Hooper walk. And I think they realized that it was a big mistake to bring him in for that kind of money, because Austin Hooper right now on average paid per year, he's seventh. So he's ahead of guys like Rob Gronkowski, Darren Waller, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, and Kyle Pitts. I know that those last three guys that I just said are on their rookie deals, but like him being ahead of Waller, like he should not, Austin Hooper should not be making more money on a year basis than Darren Waller. Over the cap has Austin Hooper's valuation price at $6.13 million, and he's getting paid $10.5 million. So I mean, that's almost half of what he's getting is what his valuation price is. Whereas Harrison Bryant's valuation is at $3.3 million and he's getting paid $1 million, which I'm just trying to show you that Harrison Bryant should be doing more than what he's getting paid and what he's being used for. And so the reason why I think Harrison Bryant's a big buy low is because Baker Mayfield's playing right now is at an all-time low. Like he can only get better from what he just did this past year. And he's tight end 32 on keep trade cut. I think that that's just absurd. I think that he needs to be valued a lot better, because I think that he honestly is going to be the starting tight end for that team next year. And he's a very good receiving tight end. I mean, we've seen it with like throughout the games. He doesn't get that much snap percentage just because of the other two tight ends there, but he's still getting a lot of, like, he's still getting targets. He's still getting touchdowns. I mean, yes, it's not very much, but he's shown that he has a high ceiling when it comes to the receiving game. And for those leagues that have tight end premium, I think that this is a very big opportunity to buy low and to like get somebody for dirt cheap. And like, you could probably even get him for something like, maybe he's on your waiver wire. I mean, I know that if it weren't for me, he'd probably be on our waiver wire in our dynasty league, but go get him. I think that he's a big, big, big buy low. And I think that you guys need to go get him for the increase in value that he can take for next season.
Nick, you want to jump in or you want me to?
You got it.
Okay. I'm going to have to completely disagree with Jason on this one. Jason, you said he was at 32 on Keep Trade Cut.
Yeah, did he go up since then?
No. I was just asking because I have him 31. So, like, I have him, like, right around there. I think out of the three Cleveland tight ends, I have Njoku the highest, and then Austin Hooper, and then Harrison Bryant. He's the one I'm least excited for. I fully expect David Njoku to come back. He's expressed over and over again how he wants to be in Cleveland. Like, he wants to stay there. He wants to re-sign. So I think they will re-sign him, especially because he's looked good the past – like, he's looked good to – like, in the back half of the season. He had a couple blow-up games. And you're right, Cleveland doesn't use their tight ends, and I think David Njoku is still able to do stuff in that offense. I think David Njoku is a good enough reason for them to not make Harrison Bryant the number one tight end there. I agree that Austin Hooper might leave, but even then, I'd fully expect Austin Hooper to have more value than Harrison Bryant next year too. So I'm going to have to disagree on this one. Harrison Bryant's not someone that I really liked coming out of college as a prospect. He's not someone I'm really excited about now either. He has shown some flashes at times, but it's not enough to make me think that Cleveland will give him this starting job and he will succeed with it. So that's just my thoughts. I'm going to have to fade this buy low.
I knew you were going to say that. I mean, I knew you weren't very high on Harrison Bryant, and I mean, that's fine. I have him, so I'll go ahead and keep him. But Nick, what are your thoughts on Harrison Bryant? So.
Yeah, I would disagree on this one. I don't think he's going to be a starter, in my opinion. Njoku just keeps on expressing on how he wants to be in Cleveland for the rest of his career. I know a lot of people say that, but he's tweeted out and posted on his Instagram multiple times saying he wants to stay in Cleveland. And he's obviously way better. And he was a first-round pick. And he's finally starting to come into his own because Cleveland's actually starting to use him. Baker Mayfield will be gone, though. So they will have a new quarterback. So you never know. The tight ends could be up in the air. I really just don't think Cleveland should pick up his fifth year. I think they should move on from him because I think Cleveland's just getting held up back from Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's that good. But, yeah, you never know with a new quarterback coming into the system with the tight ends because they all could have different chemistry.
That is interesting that you think that Cleveland's going to have a new quarterback. I fully expect Baker Mayfield to be back next year. I know that people have talked about, like, people have looked at Josh Allen's extension, Lamar Jackson's, like, people in his draft class, and Baker being the number one pick, he had the highest expectations. And yes, he has underperformed recently, but I do think he's a better starting quarterback than a lot of the other options out there. So I'd fully expect him to be back.
So do I. I think Baker Mayfield, I mean, he's had a lot of injuries this year. We've seen him play with that brace on too. I think he's going to come back and I think he's going to be a lot better than he was this year. Saying that, I don't think that he's necessarily going to be a great quarterback, but I definitely think he's going to be better this year. And I think that Cleveland's going to hang on to him. I mean, he's really only got Jarvis Landry to throw the ball to. but well, and the tight ends, obviously. I mean, we were just talking about those, but I mean, he doesn't have like any other receivers, which is why they're playing those tight ends so much. But yeah, I totally agree with you, Holmes. I think that Baker Mayfield's going to be back next year.
He's also got Donovan Peoples-Jones. Don't disrespect him like that. Elite deep threat. He's going to grow into his own soon.
He's really good at high point catches. It kind of reminds me of Mike Williams. But moving back to the tight end, I think Baker Mayfield's gone. I just don't think. Case Keenum played better in the two games that he played than Baker Mayfield did the entire season. So, yeah. Just moving on from the Browns. What are we going to start with? The sell highs?
I'll start off first. My sell high is Elijah Moore. Right now, he's being valued at wide receiver 17 on keep trade cut. That's above Terry McLaurin. That's above Mike Evans, Amari Cooper. I think that's way too high. I think in my rankings, he's wide receiver 28. I understand the hype with Elijah Moore. He has a very good athletic profile. He played with very good receivers at Ole Miss with DK and AJ Brown. And he was still able to perform at Ole Miss. And he like completely excelled afterwards too when they were gone. He is the number one receiver in that offense. And I do expect that to remain that way after this offseason. But I don't expect the Jets to have a very great passing offense. Zach Wilson is not someone I'm super excited about. He has shown some flashes, but he has also shown that he is still learning. And Elijah Moore, I think, similar to what we just said about Jerry Jeudy, I think Elijah Moore, at least this next season, is going to be dealing with similar things, where even if he does get open, because he is a solid receiver, I think his QB situation is really going to bring him back. And Zach Wilson could very much just step up, but I don't expect that to be sometime soon, given what I saw this upcoming season. So Elijah Moore at wide receiver 17, like if people are valuing him like that, I'm trying to sell him ASAP.
So I agree with Hamza. I think Elijah Moore is a sell high receiver. I have him one spot above Hamza, so I have him at wide receiver 27 in my rankings. But yeah, if you can get rid of him for wide receiver 17 value, I would be taking that in a heartbeat. Him being ahead of people like Mike Evans and stuff is just absurd. I know that keep trade cut is very reactionary and they're very focused on the future, but wide receiver 17 is still way too high in my opinion. And I have Zach Wilson, so I'm a big believer in him. I think that he will figure his stuff out, his mistakes. I think he just needed the year to grow. I mean, when he was coming out of BYU, we knew he wasn't ready to go just sling it like he was. We knew he needed to learn some stuff. But, I mean, disregarding that, I think Elijah Moore is...
I think that Elijah Moore is way too high at wide receiver 17. Keep trade cut is very reactionary, like Holmes has said. But I do think Elijah Mitchell is still a very good wide receiver. I know he's got a struggling position with Zach Wilson. And he really just came into his own when Corey Davis was out. I think it'll be interesting to see when Corey Davis comes back next year, because Corey Davis just like did not play any games. He was hurt pretty much the entire year. And then I think it'll just be interesting. I think this is kind of like the same situation that Amon-Ra St. Brown is kind of in. It's kind of where like you don't really know where to value him. But if you can get that wide receiver 17 value like Jason said, I would definitely take it.
Okay, well, moving on, Nick, I think you should go next. You have another Jet as your sell high.
I have Michael Carter as my sell high. I know. A lot of people liked him. He kind of came on towards the end of the season. But Zach Wilson does not use him in the receiving game. And Michael Carter is kind of that two-way player in the receiving game and the running game. Mike White targeted him more than Wilson. And but Carter also forced the second most missed tackles in the NFL, which is very impressive as a rookie. I think he'll just have too much volume because he's a smaller back and he'll have a lot of wear and tear is my only cons for him. He was ranked RB21 on Trade Keep Cut, and my ranking is
Keep Trade Cut.
I had it written down in the notes wrong. Fuck me. Trade Keep Cut? Is that how it is? Keep Trade Cut. No, keep Trade Cut. Keep Trade. All right. Well, restarting. As my sell high, I had Michael Carter. He's kind of a two-way back in receiving and running. My only problems with him is that Mike White targeted more than Zach Wilson, and hopefully Zach Wilson, yeah, obviously he's going through his learning curves, settles down a bit, and maybe finds him more in the flats. But Carter also forced the second most missed tackles in the NFL this year, which is very impressive for a rookie. But I think too much volume is going to come into intuition with Carter, and he'll have a lot of wear and tear because he's a very undersized back. My side is Michael Carter, only because Mike White targeted more than Wilson in the backfield, and Michael Carter is kind of a 1-2 punch in his receiving and running style. Michael Carter has forced the second most missed tackles in the NFL, which is very impressive for rookie. I think the only cons for Michael Carter is that he'll have too much volume and he'll have a lot of wear and tear on his small frame. He's ranked RB21 on Keep Trade Cut and RB17 on PFF. And my ranking is RB29. I think if you get RB21, you should take it, but you could go either way, keeping him or selling him, but I would take that RB21. That, what do you guys have on your opinions about Michael Carter?
I mean, I'll go ahead. I think Michael Carter is a good running back, but I mean, as Nick said, we know that he's a very good shifty back. Like, he's got the second most missed tackles in the NFL. My only concern is obviously the Jets' offense isn't great right now. And having Robert Saleh, who I think is a great coach, he's just – there's a lot of youth in that offense that needs the knowledge to be, like, in taught. And Robert Saleh is a defensive-minded coach, so that just scares me a little bit that he won't get the coaching that he needs. I know that he'll have specific coaches and everything, but Nick made the thing about too much volume, which I'm not too concerned about, because that's where he'll learn. Like, he'll get the volume, he'll learn and stuff like that. But at the point that Nick made about him not getting targeted by Wilson, I think that that's mainly just him not being the best receiving back. I think he's a okay receiving back, but he's just, like, people make him think, oh, well, he's got the second most missed tackles. Like, you should just give him the ball in any way that you can, which I agree to that in a sense, but I think people are exaggerating that and making it much more bigger of a deal than it needs to be. This was his rookie season, and he's going to progress throughout the offseason in time for the second season. But yeah, I do think that he is overvalued on Keep Trade Cut. And I think that if you can get that RB17 value for him, I think that you should get that, because there's a lot of running backs that are underneath him that I believe are much, much better than him. So I would be taking that value.
I agree. I think he's a good sell high. I do disagree with the one point Jason said about him not being that great of a receiving back. He showed it with Mike White, like what Nick said. I mean, he had four straight weeks, he had 67 rushing yards or receiving yards, 95, 37, 43. And that's pretty solid for a running back, especially a rookie who wasn't like getting workhorse volume. So, I mean, in the game that they played against Cincy, the big upset with Mike White is when he had 9 receptions for 95 receiving yards. So to me, they should get him the ball in like situations, like just in any situation they can. Him and Elijah Moore, those are the two like very talented guys in the offense. And I think it is a concern that, again, as Nick said, his receiving work absolutely tanked when Zach Wilson came back. Absolutely tank. After that 4-game stretch, he had one reception for 2 receiving yards. Then he got hurt for a few games, came back, 1 reception for 2 receiving yards, 2 receptions for 6 receiving yards, 1 reception for 9 receiving yards. That's how he closed out the season. He's getting no receiving work now with Zach Wilson in there. And that is a concern because he is talented enough to be receiving back. It reminds me of Leonard Fournette in the beginning of his career, how he just didn't get receiving work and people thought he wasn't a good receiving back, but he's showing it now that he is a good receiving back. And I think Michael Carter is a very capable receiving back as well. And I think it is a concern that he's not getting that work, and it is something to worry about. I also think being in the Jets is just a completely dysfunctional organization. And I think that could stunt his growth a little bit. But I mean, this year he did average 4.35 yards per carry, which is very good, especially in that offense as a rookie. So he has shown things to that warrant giving him confidence. But I think running back 21 is a little high. I have him at running back 27 in my rankings, so I'm not like too far off, but I do think he is valued a little higher than he should be. So I do agree that he's a good sell high because the hype around him is there. And I do think there are valid concerns right now.
I do just want to point out real quick that I was not the biggest fan of Michael Carter. So the reason for me saying that's why when he was coming out of college, I wasn't the biggest fan of him. And I haven't seen enough to show me in the NFL that he can be great for a while. I have seen promises, but we also have seen those in Zach Wilson too. So that's why I just haven't seen enough and consistency to make me that leap for me. So I just wanted to say that real quick on why I'm so much lower on Michael Carter than a lot of other people. So.
Okay. So do we want to move on to playoff predictions?
No, we got Jason's. Sell high first. Jason, would you like to lead yourself off with your sell high?
Yeah. So my sell high candidate is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. So in my rankings, he's wide receiver 44. But on keep trade cut, he is wide receiver 20, which I think is absurd. I think that people are reacting to his play right now and valuing him like absurdly high. So in the last 6 weeks, we obviously saw 5 of the last 6 weeks were at least 19.5 points, which I don't think he's ever going to get that again. I think when Hockenson's back and DeAndre Swift is back as well, I don't think that he's going to get all that receiving work. And I think that they're going to add another weapon or two onto that offense as well. So I would be getting rid of Amon-Ra St. Brown for not anything, because obviously he's a very good young rookie, but I would get rid of him if I can get good value. If I can get anything close to that wide receiver 20 range, I would be getting it, because there's a lot of wide receivers around that range for me. We saw Knicks buy low for Jerry Jeudy and my sell high, which is Amon-Ra St. Brown. If you can swap those two, I would do it in a heartbeat, especially before the quarterback change in Denver. I would definitely swap Amon-Ra St. Brown for Jerry Jeudy or just somebody like that. Somebody with the buy low, I would definitely swap somebody like that. Or somebody like Rashad Bateman or somebody like that, where I can increase the value or the potential value in that, I would be taking that in a heartbeat.
And step in, Nick. I think that I completely agree. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's value is way too high. I have him at wide receiver 31 now, so I have been moving him up, but it's not. I think people are just caught up on the hype, like Jason said, and we touched on it last week. I do expect him to have more competition for targets next year. And I know we just talked about how that's not really a valid concern. How it's not really a valid concern for Jerry Jeudy, but I do think Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't as talented of a receiver as Jerry Jeudy. And I agree that he is a good sell. He is a good swap, Jason, for Jerry Jeudy, if you're able to do that.
I'm actually going to disagree on this statement. Not in the value. I think it's a good sell high. But I think I just have him ranked slightly higher than you guys. If you get that, would you say is wide receiver 17?
20.
Value?
He's wide receiver 20 and keep trade cut.
20? I would still take that value. I think he's kind of a little bit lower than wide receiver 31 than what Hamza has him ranked at. I think like wide receiver like 28-ish. I think that having Swift and Hogson back, I think that he'll be way more open. I don't know. But I think he'll be very on the verge of a 1,000-yard season guy for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think his production will increase next year. So I wouldn't necessarily, I would sell him if you're getting a really good offer, in my opinion. If you're not getting a really good offer, I would keep him. But if you were swapping him for Jeudy, I would take that in a heartbeat. That's kind of where I have him valued. You wanna outro Jason too?
Yeah. So as I said in the beginning, thank you for listening to the Dynasty FFP podcast. We're just giving you our thoughts. So if you guys want to give us your thoughts, drop them in the comments of the YouTube video, or let us know on our social media accounts as well. So check us out on our other streaming platforms, whatever you're listening to this on. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, all at Dynasty FFT. For YouTube, for some reason, you have to put the space, so make sure you do Dynasty Space FFT. But all the others don't matter. And then for our social media accounts, go to Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you look us up at Dynasty FFT as well. We post a lot of good content over there. Let us know in the comments what you want to see next, and we'll make sure to work it into our schedule somehow. So go check us out. Leave a like. Drop a comment. See you guys next week.
Please subscribe, too.
Yes, please.